I count it a great joy and privilege for me for this evening to stand before you and serve the Lord through His Word. First of all, I bring greetings from the land of India and God's people there. Thank you so much for praying, and during last 2 years, some of you have written to me and communicated and showed that how you uplift us in the before the throne of God, and so me and my wife and my family thankful to you for thus praying for us. This time, Marathi conference is over, and now from tomorrow onward we'll be heading towards Ohio, and I'm so much burdened because Brother George Dawson is not able to come and he's not well, and so I have to take his subject also, and I have very little time at my hand, and so I appreciate your prayers for me too. And then I will also be speaking in FIBA conference in Dallas, Texas. Please pray for me. My wife and I, mainly as I have testified last time, that I come from Hindu background, and our burden is to reach out different castes and communities in the land of Maharashtra. My wife and I are fully engaged in that. Since I met you within last 2 years, God has helped us in planting two small assemblies in two different parts of Maharashtra. And also the assemblies that are planted also are formed from two different communities coming to know the Lord. And we are so delighted. And we are not alone, but you all upholding us before the throne of God and as we spread the word of God. Today evening, I would like you to turn with me, and my Bible study would be more or less like a sermon, like a message. And so please turn with me to, I'm reading from Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, and I'm reading only one verse, verse 18. Exodus 31 and verse 18. It's a verse that is many times read before. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the fingers of God. Written by the finger of God. This is very amazing for me as I come from Hindu background, that God of heaven who created a heaven and earth and who is so sovereign Lord, he could come down and write with his own finger. Somebody has said, God writes with a pen that never blots, speaks with a tongue that never slips, and acts with a hand that never fails. What a wonderful thing. We all human beings write legibly or unlegibly, making so many mistakes. But looking at the Bible, looking at the Word of God, it is a handwriting of God. Little bit background tells us that how God wonderfully, after creation and after having these four men, Adam and Abel and Enoch and then Noah, and then we have a little genealogy of Abraham, who, being a Semitic, God shows him first from the place called Ur and then from the land of Haran, and bringing him like a pilgrimage, bringing him in the land of Canaan and promising him and through him these three blessings. One, he was an old man and God said, I'm going to give you a son, which was impossible humanly speaking. But the Lord God promised and did give Ur and then from the land of Haran, and bringing him like a pilgrimage, bringing him in the land of Canaan, and promising him, and through him, these three blessings. One, he was an old man, and God said, I'm going to give you a son, which was impossible, humanly speaking. but the Lord God promised and did give him a son. After that, he said, I will give you land. But he didn't give in his lifetime because he was a pilgrim living in tents. But God told him, your fourth generation will occupy this land, promised land. And we know at the time of Jacob, the whole family, 70 people were taken in the land of Egypt. And a Hebrew family from Abraham to Moses becomes a nation in 430 years. And God there visits them, sees their tears, sorrows, their slavery, their bondage under Pharaoh. And we know how God performed so many miracles. The final miracle was shedding of the blood, cutting of the lamb, putting the blood on the doorpost, and provide them redemption and delivery from Pharaoh, bringing them up to the Red Sea. And we understand how God mightily delivered them Pharaoh's attacks and opened the Red Sea through Moses, and all of them passed through. Like saying almost God called, God redeemed, God delivered, and the Lord God baptized the nation in the Red Sea. And after coming out, they immediately had in the 15th chapter a thanksgiving service, how they thanked the Lord for delivering them. And through the same water, we know how Pharaoh and his army perished, drowned in the water. When they came on the other side of the shore, God provided manna first and then the water from the rock. And now the whole nation, approximately 2.5 million people, came at the foot of Sinai. And now these God's people need to be taught, because they are special people, chosen people, a priesthood unto God for his glory. And so instead of bringing the whole nation, which was not possible, on the top of the mountain, God called their leader, their monitor, on the top of the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights God spoke with him. And as a symbol, finally, he wrote down with his finger the word of God, the Ten Commandments, and gave in the hands of Moses. Now, looking at there, on a mountain, God of heaven came down to give his handwriting, the law of righteousness. God came down from heaven to the mountain top and wrote down with his hands to pass on the teaching, the law of righteousness unto his people. This is first time we find how God wrote down. And they carried all along with them this handwriting, the autograph of God. What a wonderful thing to realize and to feel so comfortable. God's handwriting is in our hands, even though it is translated in our own languages. I was a high school student when my state became a statehood according to my language. And first time our chief minister, like a governor here, was visiting my town, and I thought I must take his signature. But how to take so many police around him, such a protection? One day night I thought that he is going to have a lunch at the guest house, government guest house. Early morning I approached them and I said, give me some work tomorrow. And they said, what work can you do? I said, I cannot do much, but I can supply water to those who are going to have food here. And I pleaded so much. One of them felt sympathy for me, and they said, okay, you can work tomorrow here. Early morning, before anybody came, even the sweeper came, I reached there. And as soon as the governor, the chief minister, came in and sat at his table, I ran with a glass of water in my one hand, and in one hand a small diary, and just put the glass and said, please sign here. Everybody looked at me till he signed very nicely, and I kept that. I was in high school at that time, but I carried his signature till I passed my master's degree from the university. And I was so proudly able to say, see the handwriting of the first chief minister. But when I came to know the Lord, I thought, he has gone, he is in his grave. But now I have the handwriting of God who created heaven and earth. What a marvel for me as a human being that I have handwriting, his handwriting. And we know that right from Exodus up to Deuteronomy, we have the law of God. One rabbi has counted them. It's so hard to count how many laws God has given, and that rabbi has counted totally 613 laws are there. And we cannot even know them so thoroughly. But in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 15, David has put them, all these 613, into 11. Abridged. And again we go further in Isaiah 33, he has put this 11 into 6. And then we read in another part in Micah, Micah has put these 6 into 3. And again Isaiah, in his another chapter, he has put these 3 into 2. But isn't it wonderful when we come to the book of Romans, it says, the just shall live by faith. All the law, 613, finally put down just in one golden writing, the just shall live by faith. And here we all sit. None of us could carry on or obey the law of righteousness that God gave in the hands of Moses. But it is documented for us, and it is in our hands. If any one of you has gone or has a plan to go to England, go to the London Museum. In the Bible section, they have preserved the oldest tablets written in Hebrew language, the Ten Commandments. And one wonders the continuity of God's word. Somebody told me that King Frederick asked one day, his chaplain was visiting him, and he said, chaplain, just can you tell me in two words the authenticity of the Bible? And chaplain immediately answered, the Jews, your majesty. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible, the written document, and the Jews, the chosen people, are still testifying to the world. They are God's handwriting. Now, going towards another passage, please turn with me. In the book of Daniel, there is another passage that God wrote down. And here, God of heaven came down, so below, on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and wrote with his fingers. But here, another passage has another connotation. What has happened in between? When the first handwriting was given, we know that they disobeyed and wanted to go back in the book of Numbers. But God did not change his plan. They were to go. God had chosen the land, and to go to that land, he has chosen his people. But because they disobeyed, and we know how 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. But finally, they came down to the land of Moab on the eastern bank of Jordan, and God handed over the leadership from Moses to Joshua. Isn't that wonderful that God told Moses, Moses, you are going to die now. Wow, what a news. But one who was having authority over life and death, he said, now you are going to die. God took him on the mountaintop. Moses died, and God buried him. Nobody attended his funeral. There was no commotion in the nation, but there was commotion in heaven. Because we know in the book of Jude, Satan was quarreling with Michael or the Michael about Moses' body. But God buried his servant and carried down his work. That's what happens. None of us is indispensable. God, when we die, God would bury us and carry on his work. But in between, now they have come to the bank of Jordan River, and leadership is handed over to Joshua. Isn't it wonderful? Moses, the representative of law, can only bring up to Jordan. But to take us in the land of promise, Joshua is needed, who is also the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in 1405, they enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan. From that time onward, up to nearly 1,000 years, they ruled there, they remained, but finally disobeyed. And in 1722, the first 10 tribes from the northern kingdom were taken by the Assyrians into the captivity. Remaining two tribes were pleaded by the prophets to obey, to turn to God and obey his word, but they did not listen to. And we know Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came and took them in three steps to the land of Babylonia as captives. And we know that how God went with them, how God's people went there, and Daniel and his friend, how by their testimonies, by their even being persecuted, yet they stood for God and led those mighty kings unto God Jehovah himself. But what happens in chapter 5? Now here is the account. When Nebuchadnezzar died, his son or grandson became the king. But he did not know God's people. He did not know God. He did not know his word. One day he held a party, and in that party he brought the utensils from the holy temple which were taken there. And they put the wine in them, and they were drinking, he and his leaders, and his wives and concubines and his whole family. And they were praising God's idols made up of stone and wood. At that time, what happened? Now look at, I'm reading verse 5, Daniel chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 5. Suddenly the fingers of man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. What a wonderful thing. In the first occasion, God of heaven, the triune God, came down, so down on the mountain to give the law of righteousness to his people. They could not obey it, but that was the standard of God. And in between now, nearly 1,000 years have gone. Again, the sin inflicted so much. The world occupied with sinful activities. God has to come down. Now, how much down here? He came right up to the palace, right upon the earth. And on the plaster of the wall of the palace, God's hand appeared. Again here, handwriting of God on the palace wall. But isn't it interesting? Only the little hand, the fingers that were writing were visible. But body or whatever God has was not being seen. In the first occasion, God the Father, triune God, wrote. And now here, the Holy Spirit writes. Only the hand is visible. Body is invisible. We cannot see him. What did he write? That was judgment upon. As we have the first handwriting of God, the law of righteousness, now on the palace wall, the law of retribution, the judgment upon that wicked king and his leaders, his family, the whole family. And when he saw, it says, when he saw the writing, the hand did the writing, then the king's face grew pale. Because it was the retribution handwriting of God appeared on the palace wall. Looking at the today's world, we all, most of us feel there are so, it is so obvious, hand, there is a handwriting upon the wall where the world is heading to. And as believers, we know the Lord's coming is so near. because it is so visible and the judgment is also near. Meanwhile, the God's grace rules and the gospel is preached and few souls are getting saved. Now here, the handwriting of God is the law of retribution upon the wicked king, upon the idol worshippers, upon those who do not recognize the sovereignty and the holiness of God. And so for them, this is the handwriting. Handwriting for the world to recognize. But it doesn't stop there. We know that that king could not even read. He brought all his wise men. They could not read. And finally, Daniel was brought there. And he explained. He read the handwriting and said, "Oh, king, you knew what happened to your forefathers, but you forgot the king, the God of heaven. And so this has come upon you, O king. Because mane mane takel means you are weed and you are found lacking. And so, O king, judgment will come." And we know in the very end of that chapter, the king is killed that very night. And kingdom came to an end. And as he said, Upharsin means divided among Persians and Medes. And the kingdom was divided. Judgment came and it really did his work. God's word will never go in vain. Now from that time, this was almost happened in 539 or so. Now further from that time onward, another 200 years go by and the interval begins between the two testaments, Old Testament and the New Testament. And we know in the New Testament, God of heaven became a human being, came on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. The purpose was to reveal the God of heaven whom nobody has seen. And above all, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. All the world's sacrifices were to fulfill in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that was the final sacrifice, as we read from the Word of God. Now there is a third handwriting. I want you to turn with me towards the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 6 onward. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and I'm reading verse 6. "And they were saying this, testing him in order that they might have ground to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground." Now, what is the occasion? The Lord Jesus Christ, this is almost the last week of his life. And Christ has come to the city of Jerusalem. He is in the temple ground area. And they caught a woman committing adultery. How can one person commit adultery? They need two to commit adultery. But they did not catch the man. Just they caught the woman and they brought her to him. And just to test him, they said, "Now Moses has told us in such occasion to stone that person till death. What do you say?" Now, if he says, "Stone her," then he breaks the Roman law. If he says, "Don't stone her," then he breaks Mosaic law. So both ways, they thought that he would come in trouble. But what did the Lord do? The Lord of heaven, who has become a human being, with taking the body of mud, walking on the muddy earth, but he was God himself. He stooped down on the earth and started writing. Now let me remind. First, triune God stooped down on the mountain and wrote the law of righteousness. The Holy Spirit, the God again, stooped down and came to the wicked king's palace and wrote on the plaster, the wall of the plaster of the wall. And wrote the law of retribution, the judgment, and truly it came. Now here, God the Son writes on the ground. And what is he writing? What is he writing? We can know what he is writing, you know. They said, he told them, the one who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, they were not only looking at the women, but Christ made to look them into their own hearts. But what did he write? We can get a clue in verse 9. Now, turn to that verse. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the midst. When he was writing, and when he heard what he said, what must have happened? Who left first? Wow, the senior ones. Beginning from the senior ones, one by one they left what was written. Only they understood. It may not be a big thing, but everyone saw in the handwriting of the Son of God something judgmental for their heart. They read it and they passed away one by one. For them, did not believe, they found it is judgmental upon them, convicting them of their sin. But look at the repentant sinner, broken-hearted woman. What happened? Christ turned to her and said, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they left one by one. And verse 10, and straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. And what does he say? From henceforth, sin no more. I forgive you. What a wonderful thing. God wrote the law of righteousness. Holy Spirit wrote the law of retribution. But the Son of God, who came for that purpose, he wrote the gospel. Or I would count it on the ground, he wrote on the temple ground the law of redemption. They that believe and confess their sins and says, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a condemned one. Have mercy upon me. And for a repentant sinner, the Son of God writes on the ground the law of redemption. Isn't that wonderful? Son of God came down, and for you and for me, he wrote down the gospel, the law, the graceful, the law of redemption. And only one at that time got redeemed, was forgiven, and went away peacefully. But the rest of the majority world there looked and saw that they are guilty. They were sorry that they could not stone, but they were not sorry for their sins. They left unbelievingly and remained sinners, condemned unto hell. Now, I want you to turn with me towards the fourth handwriting. It is found in the Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I would read there verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. And it is a familiar passage, I would just read. It reads like this. And he says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind, and I will write them then, says, and he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And look at verse 18. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Then he said, then when people hear God's word, are convinced and convicted about their sin, and they receive Christ Jesus through his word, they receive him in their hearts. And what happens? Now after receiving the Holy Spirit that is in the Word of God enters in their heart, enters in their spirit, and their dead spirit becomes alive through the Spirit of God. That's what we call the regeneration. Our spirit which was dead in sin, the Spirit of God caused it to become alive. And we receive forgiveness. But writing on the hearts of men, I was looking for that original word, and it is so wonderful. The word heart there is not just the pumping machine or just the mental set. The very word cardia is used. On the hearts of men, the law of regeneration. This is the fourth handwriting. First on the mountain, so low from heaven. Second, on the palace wall, lower than that. Thirdly, right on the ground. Isn't wonderful the forgiveness is down to the earth, preached to the repentant sinners. That is the third handwriting. But now, the fourth handwriting is writing inside on the heart so that we may understand this is the law of regeneration. The Word of God written on a heart and regenerating the unregenerate sinners. And we understand how God wrote in our hearts the day we received Him. And we became no more dead, but alive in Christ, living ones, connected to the God of heaven and His family. And we understood the day we called Abba Father, because the Spirit inside caused that. And that is the fourth handwriting of God written inwardly. And finally, only one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 2 and 3. And this is the final handwriting of God. Chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone as upon the mountain, but on the tablets of human hearts. Now this is the fourth handwriting of God. Let me revise again. That on the Mount Sinai, triune God came down to teach His people and wrote on the mountain, on the stone tablets, the law of righteousness. 1,000 years after that, the Holy Spirit came, seeing the wickedness and sinfulness of the world, and represented by that King, the God of heaven, the Holy Spirit came and wrote on the palace wall, the law of retribution. But Son of God, finally, at the right time, God's right time came, becoming human being, taking all our sins upon Himself, dying on the cross as Lamb of God. And He, in His lifetime, wrote on the ground to the unrepentant sinners the law of retribution, judgment, but to the repentant sinners the law of redemption. The Holy Spirit, they that receive Christ, writes in their hearts the law of regeneration. But here is a different edition. Paul calls the believers at Corinthians and he says, you are the handwritten letter of living God, sent into the world that they might come to know. As once Dr. Billy Graham has said, ye are the Bible the world is reading. Ye are the creed the world is needing. Isn't that? In the land of India, there are many people who have never seen or heard about the Bible. But if there are few Christians around them, if they are thus written God's word in their heart, and they go out and publish as every day new edition of their life, improved edition of their life, so that the world without God, the lost word might read us and through our testimonies come to know Him. And this can happen anywhere, even in this land, as God's people go out as a published epistle, living epistle of God. What a wonderful thing. This is the final handwriting of God. There is no more publication. Publication is stopped. These are the five handwritings of God. And isn't that wonderful? Right from the law on the mountain till you and I are His epistles. So let our lives be so legible so that everyone can read it and be convinced about his or her sins and may turn to God and be born again. And God of heaven be glorified. May the Lord bless His word to all of us.